This is your host, Michelle, and you're listening to Old TV with a New Twist. Let's see what classic television show we're watching and talking about this week.
Here's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls. All of them had hair of gold, like their mother, the youngest one in curls.
It's the story of a man named Brady, who was busy with three boys of his own. They were four men living all together, yet they were all alone.
Till the one day when the lady met this fellow, and they knew that it was much more than a hunch, that this group must somehow form a family. That's the way we all became the Brady Bunch. The Brady Bunch. The Brady Bunch. That's the way we became the Brady Bunch.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 40 of Old TV with a New Twist. And today we are going to be also doing our first movie ever. We've always just done 30-minute episodic television. Today we're actually tackling the TV movie A Very Brady Christmas. And here, for her 11th time at the microphone, I cannot believe this. First of all, 11 times, and then the time commitment that it requires to do a movie. Eden, I cannot thank you enough. Eden Buck, my daughter. Welcome, Eden.
Hello.
I'm excited. That was a big buildup.
Yeah. Wow. I hope I live up to the expectations.
Well, we are revisiting probably one of your favorite shows, The Brady Bunch.
For sure. Yeah. Favorite one I've reviewed, absolutely. But also because it's one of my favorites, my favorite classic TV shows.
Okay. It's so cool. Good. As if anybody in the world doesn't know this, The Brady Bunch ran for five seasons, 1969 to 1974. It had a lot of spinoffs. It had a Variety Hour in 1976. The Brady Girls Get Married in 1981. The Brady Brides in 1981. Then A Very Brady Christmas in 1988. And actually the success of this Christmas movie spawned another series, The Bradys, which premiered in 1990 and ran until 1990.
Yeah. It didn't do too well.
Six episodes. Very short-lived. Anyway, what is your favorite TV Christmas episode ever?
Nick and Jessica's Christmas special.
I knew it. From 2004?
Yeah.
Before the unfortunate breakup.
Yeah, so everybody knows Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson. They had their TV show Newlyweds, and they did a Christmas special. Yeah, so this is technically a Christmas TV episode.
But it was a variety show.
Yes.
It was a different format from their TV show.
If you can find it, I recommend it. I think they've probably gotten it wiped from the earth.
Yeah.
Unless you're us and you have it on VHS and DVD and everything else.
So we have it and
it's
we watch
so good.
It every Christmas.
Plaid flannel pajamas. If you do watch it, look for that quote. It'll be said about 35 times.
Yeah. In 1 minute.
Yeah.
So we're just going to move right on because we've got a movie to cover here, Eden. We've got a lot to talk about. The entire premise of this is just that the whole Brady family manages to overcome personal obstacles to spend a happy holiday together.
Did you write that? Or is that a synopsis?
That was a synopsis on IMDb.
I was like, wow, that's exactly what it's about.
They only had one Christmas episode during the run of the show, season one, episode 12, called The Voice of Christmas, that aired December 19th, 1969. This movie is 20 years later.
Wow.
And I'm talking about that episode because we're going to revisit it a little later.
We are.
They kind of mesh it in here. The movie starts with that iconic theme song.
That's the very first line of my notes. Iconic theme song, as always.
I heard you singing along to the entire theme song, word for word.
Of course.
And then wasn't it cool? They morphed it from the younger faces to their faces now, 20 years later.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. It gives you that warm, fuzzy feeling like this isn't something new. You're revisiting something old.
Right. And I did like that.
Still the same. Mm-hmm. Nothing has changed.
Yeah. Even though it's a movie, it's still kind of the show.
So I remember when this episode aired in 1988, and we were all very excited to be revisiting the Brady Bunch again.
Of course.
And the first thing, it was so great to see the Brady house again, even though it was updated with the pastel and beige colors of 1988. There was more windows, more light. You still can't hide the Bradiness of it.
Yes.
What did you think?
That's I have a whole section on the house. I put in all caps, loved seeing the house. It's so cool to see it updated.
But what was the same? Let's talk about, did you pick out anything particular?
Everything was the same. The layout was the same. The horse was still there.
Still there.
Right by the staircase. But like you said, they added some windows. Like there was a kitchen window that was added, which is funny because I never really thought about what the kitchen backs up to. I never really thought, like, is that the backyard? Because the backyard's on the side by the sliding doors. Like, what's back there? So, yeah, just it's like a whole I could watch that again and just, like, focus on each little thing because I like to see what changed, what stayed the same. I like, very interesting layout.
It's unique, and it is Brady. Like, that staircase.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen, besides in WandaVision, another house that has that staircase? Never.
No, never.
It's so iconic. I'm using that word again, you guys.
Yeah, it was so good to see the house again.
Now, besides all of that, my second thought was, damn, Florence Henderson looks good.
Does she? Did she?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I thought she looked good, but I don't know how old she was.
She was 56 here.
I think she looked 56.
I thought she looked really, I thought she could have passed in her 40s maybe. But you know what that, you know what that means? That during the initial run of the show, she was just a couple of years older than you. Even.
That's disgusting. That's terrible.
Yeah. So, and they've established that Mike is still an architect and Carol is still selling real estate, which they established that she was doing back in the Brady Girls Get Married. And they still kiss a lot.
This is going to be a recurring theme. I don't like it.
You don't like it?
I don't like anything about the Brady's doing a deed. I don't like it. And they talk a lot about it in this Christmas episode.
I know. It's a lot.
It's weird. It's real weird.
Yeah. Okay. So then here we go. We're getting into the plot. Carol gets on the phone to call all of the kids individually to tell them that she is surprising Mike for Christmas with a trip to Greece. Mike is at his office and he's calling all the kids to tell them that he's surprising Carol for Christmas with a trip to Japan. Now, Eden, if Dad and I both called you and said that, would you kind of tell one or both of us, y'all better talk to each other?
Well, I would say, first of all, who are y'all? Because ain't neither one of y'all planning a trip to Japan or Greece.
True.
I would say, you got the wrong number. But I would have to say, y'all should probably talk to each other about this.
But none of the kids did.
Yeah, I don't know what the kids thought that was going to happen. I don't know how they thought it was going to work itself out. I mean, maybe they're like, hey, with a Brady Bunch, it always works itself out.
Yeah. Right here, the doorbell rings. And who is it, Eden? You want to tell us about what happens?
It's Alice. And we are going to start one of my least favorite parts of this whole movie. I love Alice. Was so glad to see her. You obviously couldn't make the movie without Alice.
No.
We couldn't get a better storyline than Sam cheated on her and left. So Alice, the housekeeper, who is the live-in housekeeper.
Yeah.
I assume when the kids left, Alice left. She got married to Sam the butcher. And now she's back all of a sudden for this episode. I think Alice might like the fame. I think Alice might be here for the wrong reasons.
Oh, you making a movie? Yeah. I'm coming over.
Yeah, I'll be there. No,
it's
so
like reality TV. It's a contrived storyline
to get the wrong reason
to get her back in that house.
Yeah. So Alice comes in. Sam, her husband, has cheated on her and writes a letter that Mom finds hilarious that I do not.
I was crying. You know, I was really laughing at this point.
I thought I was missing something.
No, it was. Just
thinking about it. It's not that funny.
The letter he wrote is just something about like, oh, I'm sorry. It's very punny for a butcher because it all ties into him being a butcher.
Yes.
You thought I was staying late to pluck chickens.
Yeah.
But I was going over to her house and she thought we were just going to exchange meatloaf recipes, but I wound up seasoning her rump roast.
Yes.
How can you not think that is hysterical?
I mean, it's like, all right. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to hear about people cheating on Alice.
Yeah.
It's the Brady Bunch.
That doesn't happen.
I wrote
on the
in
Brady
parentheses,
Bunch.
Would I just prefer Alice come in and say, Sam passed away, or hey,
it's my first Christmas without Sam.
I don't want to be alone. Can I come stay here? This just didn't feel very Brady to me. And I get it. They're all grown now. This is a different vibe, but I didn't like it.
But let's get technical here. Is seasoning her rump roast
cheating?
A going all the way? Maybe it was just a little flirtation.
So. Well, you never know. But Sam's gone. So
yeah,
he did leave.
So they invite Alice to stay. Well, you can stay here with us, Alice. And she's back in uniform.
Mm-hmm. Immediately.
Next day.
You think it was still hanging in the closet?
Yeah. Well, just a couple of sizes bigger.
A little bit bigger.
A little bigger.
Because they kept saying, you're not the housekeeper now, Alice. You're our friend. You don't have to wait on us. Immediately back in her blue and whites.
Fixing breakfast.
Yeah. Then the next scene, she's got an apron on.
Yeah.
They probably for the first 10 minutes, they're like, Alice, you're our friend. You're not our housekeeper. Next day, as she's cooking Christmas dinner, nobody bats an eye. Nobody's like, Alice, let's help.
No. She's back
the pies.
She baked.
The duck.
She's doing everything. The next day, Mike and Carol go to the travel agency to make their plans. And they both go to the same travel agency on the same day.
Are sitting directly next to each other and can't hear each other speak. You know, there's classic TV stuff.
They're in adjoining cubicles. Mm-hmm.
And Carol's saying very loudly, I am Mrs. Mike Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole time I was like, they have to hear each other. Yeah. They have to be able to hear each other. Yeah.
So the whole thing is, I was surprising you with a trip. Let's kiss a lot in the middle of this travel agency.
Yes.
Everything is fine. So they are sitting at home laughing about how, Alice, you knew we were both planning these things. Why didn't you tell us? And then they were talking about what made our vacations great when we were, you know, when we were a young family. It was because we were all together. And they do a little call back to the camping trip, season 1, episode 8. And then they say, why don't we do this? Why don't we take the money we were going to spend on a trip and use it to fly all the kids home for Christmas? Which they make you believe it's been a while since everyone has been home.
Mm-hmm. It seems that they must come home individually because Carol and Mike do know the grandkids.
Right.
They do seem to have a relationship with the grandkids and the kids still, just that they don't all come home together.
So there's going to be another round of phone calls. This is where we're going to introduce us to all the kids. And we're going to find out that they all got some kind of issues going on.
In air quotes. These are some pretty weak issues, guys.
Well, they all...
Prepare yourself. We got some very Brady issues coming up.
They all got some baggage they bring home with them. What I do want to say, that we always start talking about the guys, is when they got everybody back together. Sherwood Schwartz, called everybody, said, we got the green light. We're doing this special. The four guys, Mike and the three sons, the three guys who play the sons, all showed up with mustaches. And Sherwood says, we can't have all of y'all with mustaches. We can't. So I don't know how it was decided, but Mike and Greg kept their mustaches and Peter and Bobby had to shave theirs. So they would have all...
Were mustaches so in vogue in 1988?
I don't remember. I don't know.
That's funny that all four had a mustache.
Yeah. So here we go. We're going to meet all the kids, talk about what's going on with them. Okay, so Carol's calling all the kids to tell them they want them all to come home. So first one she calls is Marsha, who's married to Wally. And we learn that her kids are brats. Or her son is.
Yes. Yeah, Jessica's fine.
Yeah.
Mickey is terrible.
Oof. And then just make a joke that Mickey is so incredibly awful. Oh, Mickey. It's like, why don't somebody correct
Mickey
him?
Mickey being Mickey again.
Yeah. And her husband is a newly unemployed toy salesman. And by the way, Maureen McCormick was pregnant here.
Oh, really?
When they were filming this.
Must have been very newly pregnant.
She was maybe a couple months along. Hmm. So that's their baggage. He's unemployed. He does not want her to tell the family.
And he is busted up.
What does that mean?
He's very upset that he is unemployed, obviously. He's like, I don't want the kids to worry. And then he's like, how are we going to pay for the dentist? And I mean, he just really
in front of the kids,
and he just really kind of goes off.
Yeah.
And the daughter's like, I'll give you my allowance.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, we need to kind of pipe down, Wally. You're scaring the kids. I mean, really.
Yeah, he acts,
be an adult.
He doesn't handle this very well.
No.
So the next one they call is Greg, who's married to Nora. Greg is an obstetrician. He delivers babies for a living. And their problem is that he wants to come home, obviously, but his wife, who is being totally unreasonable here,
extremely,
wants to go see her family for the third year in a row.
I was wondering if you were going to think that Nora was being unreasonable.
Absolutely. They've been with her family for 3 years in a row.
Right.
He's like, but my family's all getting together this 1 year. And she's like, no, I want to go see Aunt Frances.
Yeah.
Jan is married to Philip. Jan is an architect. Philip mm-hmm. is a college professor. Their issue is that they are separating and he is taking the fish tank. Yes. He's walking out with a fish tank.
My fish.
And they live obviously far away from California, somewhere where it snows.
Cold. It's very cold there.
Yeah. I don't mm-hmm. know where they are. So they're coming with that. Peter, his girlfriend is Valerie, and she is his boss. Mm-hmm. And he's got a problem with that. That's very hard for him. Maybe it threatens his masculinity, whatever. Big question for you, Eden. Mm-hmm. Because if you guys listen to our Brady Bunch podcast, we talked about which one of the Brady boys we thought was the cutest. Mm-hmm. Is Peter still hot?
Yes.
Peter still got it?
The cutest, for sure.
Okay, Bobby, not married, he stopped dyeing his hair and he's a strawberry blonde. Mm-hmm. He has quit college and decided to start driving race cars. Mm-hmm. And his parents do not know. So the next one they call is Cindy. She's the youngest. She's a college student. Cindy looks way prettier.
Yeah, Cindy, you're looking different, girl. Yeah, Cindy is not Cindy.
No, it's a different girl playing Cindy, yes. The only original cast member who did not come back.
And why did she not come back?
Okay, I'm going to tell you about
that trivia.
I was always led to believe, always, when I've heard through the years, interviews and stuff, she was on her honeymoon at the time and could not film. In the trivia that I found online, it said Susan Olsen, the original Cindy, was the only original cast member not to appear in this movie because she decided to go on her honeymoon. She had also found out that Paramount only had to deliver on 5 of the kids and wanted to pay Olsen the least, which was all the more reason for her to turn down the film.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know if that would have mattered to me. I probably still would have done it. Just because think of all the memories they made.
Well, yeah.
Making this together.
Yeah, and she wasn't in it. But this girl's pretty good. She's played by Jennifer Runyon, who had one of the lead roles in Charles in Charge. She played Gwendolyn. You probably didn't watch Charles in Charge in the 80s. So she was a well-known actress at the time. Gotcha. Everybody knew who she was. But the thing is, she's told, you're going to come home for Christmas. She was planning on going skiing.
Mm-hmm. With
the girls. But she wasn't given a choice. You're coming home.
If I'm honest, I don't think anyone else was given a choice because Jan really tried to back out of it and she wasn't given much of a choice either.
Here's the thing. The ones who don't want to go only don't want to go because they're all trying to hide something.
Yeah, they're being selfish.
They've all got something going on in their life that they don't want to reveal. They're ashamed of or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's how I see it. They all want to go, but right. for these reasons. But Cindy, I don't know, but that's just what she says. I wasn't asked to go. I was told I was going. So that's mm-hmm. her problem. So at first, we're not sure if they're all going, but if they didn't, we wouldn't have a movie. So they all are coming. But then let's just talk to the little tiny subplot mm-hmm. that is Ted Roberts. Just tell us the whole Ted Roberts story, Eden, in the middle of this movie until we get to the last right. part.
So Ted Roberts is a client of Carol's. Carol works in commercial real estate. So Ted Roberts has bought this property from her, and she recommended Mike as the architect on this project. He hires Mike. Apparently, Mike is just building this building too darn safe. He said, we're going to do the very minimum requirements in terms of safety, and Mike wants to exceed safety modifications.
Right.
And that's expensive. And so Ted Roberts calls Carol, says, I need you to talk to Mike. I need you to let him know that we don't want to do this. And so Carol talks to Mike and Mike just shuts it down. Mike says, I know how to deal with Ted Roberts. Don't worry. Carol's like, thank goodness. Basically, Mike talks to Ted Roberts and says, kick rocks. He says, I'm not your architect anymore. Ted Roberts threatens him and says, there's plenty of other architects in this town. And Mike's like, okay, be my guest. So essentially, Mike is no longer the architect on this project.
Right. Put a pin in that, guys. It's going to come up again later. Mm-hmm. So everyone is going to come home. Marcia and Bobby are just going to keep lying. Jan and Philip are going to fake it.
Yep.
Peter and Cindy are just going to suffer in silence. And Greg's wife is going to go see Aunt Frances. And Greg and his son, the slug,
Kevin,
will spend Christmas with his family. But Greg's going to be without his wife. So he's going to be lonely and missing her. So everybody is...
Everybody's got their issues.
Got their issues coming in. Mike and Carol are getting the house ready. They're setting up sleeping bags, rollaway beds, and they...
Not really sure why this required like 80 mattresses, like full-sized mattresses to be moved.
Yeah, they were moving a lot of stuff. So then Alice picks up everybody from the airport and they arrive at the house one by one. You know, very big, happy Brady homecoming, which was kind of cool when they all were arriving at the house and saying hello. And then so there's putting up a Christmas tree, stringing popcorn, making eggnog, putting up mistletoe, Christmas carols.
Singing a lot.
Sherwood Schwartz throws every Christmas cliche at us right here that you can think of. But at this point where they're putting up the tree and singing Christmas carols, Eden, sitting on the chair, says, I friggin' love the Brady Bunch.
I do. It's so good.
Right at that point.
It's so good.
You were overcome with emotion. When
I really
was.
So that's the whole thing about this movie. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But you can give me the dumbest scenes on a platter and call it the Brady Bunch and I'm in. Yeah. I'm like, I love it. I love these kids.
They can get away with anything.
Oh, you can get away with five grown men with mustaches carrying the Christmas tree in, just jolly as could be, just singing away. And I'm like, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
It's not cheesy. It's amazing. Yeah. And then the women join in, bringing in the cookies from the kitchen, and they finish the Christmas carol. I mean, come on. It's wonderful. It's so happy.
Yep. So they do the Christmas tree and it's just everybody and it's great. But then that night comes. It's Christmas Eve night already. Mm-hmm. And but basically all the kids are miserable because of the aforementioned reason. Mm-hmm. And at night they're all up tossing and turning, except for Philip, who's apparently sleeping in a file cabinet. He can't sleep because Jan won't let him sleep in the bed because they separated. But Bobby and Peter in a nightgown.
A full-blown nightgown.
Yeah, they're having a long talk about their issues. And during this talk, we discover there is a bathroom behind the stairs, which we have never known ever. So that's just it. They just show you everybody and their own little things. And everybody's talking about their issues. And everybody's upset. Nobody can sleep. So they all go downstairs and wind up in the kitchen, just taking the pies out of the fridge and ate all of the pies.
Sad eating pies.
Peter with his bare hands.
Yes.
That's meant for their Christmas dessert. But it's a very sad scene because they're all sitting there like just miserable. And it kind of, I don't know, kind of hits your heart a little bit.
Well, yeah, it's different because they're all adults now trying to deal with adult issues. It's weird seeing it like in the Brady kitchen. I mean, because usually their problems would, Marsha couldn't remember her cheer for Tria. So, I mean, like it's yeah. like it's sad because they got these real problems.
Yeah, that's no
couldn't
big
find
deal.
Kitty Carryall.
Yeah. So on Christmas morning, immediately, two things are kind of solved. Wally gets a job offer from a neighbor while jogging with Mike.
Yep. Who knew that Mike and Carol lived in such an influential neighborhood? Mr. Prescott of Prescott Toys lives in your neighborhood? Okay.
Yeah.
What a nice neighborhood.
And Jan and Philip resolve their issues and realize they're still in love. How does that come about, Eden?
Carol walks in and says, breakfast is ready. And then they just start going off about you're impossible to live with since you got this new professor job. You don't care about my work. Yeah. I mean, it's honestly and all a big misunderstanding. And I can't believe that they were going to get a divorce over this one fight. It seems like it was one fight. But yeah, they work it out.
And they're all good.
And Carol says, why don't you go ahead and have a little sex before breakfast?
Yeah, she does.
I'm going to leave y'all alone.
Yeah.
Here in your dad's study. Oh, those Bradys.
Those two have their problem solved. So now we're going to dinner. And Dad makes a very lovely toast about, you know, how they became a family 20 years ago. And then this very funny scene ensues. Mike's like, well, I have something to say. Or how does it start?
He starts saying something about, you know, if you're not honest or something very generic, I think.
Yeah, we all need to share with each other and be honest with each other.
Yeah, that's the spirit of Christmas, us all being together and remembering that we're one unit and that we can share with each other.
Yeah, he's really talking about himself, I think. But then the first one of the kids, Bobby, says, Dad, I think you're talking about me. And he's like,
no, he's not the first.
Who is the first?
Bobby's not the first. I think Cindy's the first.
Cindy is sitting at the kiddie table with the kids that are like 5 years old.
The grandkids.
And she's 18 or 19 years old. Yes. Yeah. It's like, okay, this is kind of silly. No. That would not happen.
No. I mean, her knees are up to her ears. Yeah.
But Cindy asserts her independence as an adult while sitting at the kiddie table.
Yeah. Cindy admits that she wanted to be asked to come home. Okay, Cindy. That's Cindy's storyline.
And they're like, oh, we didn't realize. Okay, fine.
Right.
She sits down. Her problem is solved.
Solved.
Moved on to the next.
Then I believe it's Peter.
Okay. Dad, I think you're talking about me.
I think you're talking about me. He's like, no, I wasn't. So Peter, of course, is self-conscious because Valerie is his boss.
Yeah.
And so, and then Valerie is self-conscious because women don't ask men to marry them, but they do if men take too long to ask. So they eventually ask each other, and Mike has one of the best lines in the movie. He says, that's the dumbest proposal I've ever heard. So yeah, Mike says that, and then he says, I wasn't actually talking about you, Peter. Bobby stands up and he says, were you actually talking about me, Dad?
He's like, no,
I wasn't. He's like, what?
Bobby comes clean about his career as a race car driver. I hope this doesn't lead to a crash and him being paralyzed.
I really hope it doesn't.
Which we know it does. Yes. In the Bradys, the following series, the Bradys.
Yes.
But they kind of understand that he's duped them for a few years and has been lying to them, and they're perfectly fine with it. Just be careful, Bobby.
Well,
they don't seem at all mad or phased. It's like, okay, just be careful. What?
Well,
I just said, where'd the 50 grand a year go for the tuition and the housing and whatnot? So then last but not least, Nora shows up. She saw Aunt Frances and all her cousins and then realized my place is here.
About time, Nora.
Yeah, Nora.
Also, how'd you get there so fast?
Nora didn't impress me in this episode at all.
Pretty, but annoying.
Yeah. So Alice wheels in the largest turkey I have ever seen.
I didn't notice.
Alice, who's not the maid.
Not the maid. Not the cook.
Made the turkey, made the pies, which she keeps saying, does anybody know what happened to my pies? And nobody says anything. But just then, when Mike is about to carve the roast beast, there's a phone call for him. Tell us about it, eh?
It is none other than Ted Roberts.
The villain of the piece.
I'm not sure how I got assigned this storyline because I really despise Ted Roberts and his whole storyline. But yeah, Ted Roberts calls. The building that they were working on collapsed, of course, because he was trying to take the cheap. So the architect that he hired in Mike's place is out of the country or something. He's not available.
Now he needs Mike's help.
So Mike goes. Carol's a little worried that Mike goes, but whatever. He's an architect. It's going to be fine. Mike goes to help.
He's called because he knows the stress points of the building and where they can dig and shift and whatnot to get the men out.
Mike gets there, and then Carol gets a call saying that Mike is now trapped in the building.
Yes. And the whole family,
we brought the grandkids to a collapse site where their grandfather is probably dead. I wrote that in my notes. Because once we realize that Mike is trapped in the building, and the building will probably collapse with Mike in it and he will die.
Yeah.
Let's bring the kids.
On Christmas morning.
Front and center. They're at the yellow tape.
That's the one thing I said. They are right in the front. Mm-hmm. Nobody would be that close up to a building collapsing.
Correct.
We're led to believe this building is several stories high. Yeah, it's big.
Very close.
Mike frees the men who were trapped come out. But Mike winds up trapped himself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, dun dun dun. Mike is trapped.
He is.
In the building.
All the grandkids are watching.
Everybody's out there. Carol's looking real worried. But Cindy comes up to her and reminds her of something. Eden?
Mm-hmm.
What does Cindy remind her of?
Cindy reminds Carol about that Christmas when Carol lost her voice. And Cindy sat on Santa Claus's lap and said, please give my mommy her voice back so she can sing at Christmas Mass.
Yes. Carol had laryngitis.
She got laryngitis real bad.
Yeah. Because she wanted her mom to sing, Oh, Come All Ye Faithful on Christmas morning.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get probably the most cringeworthy moment in the history of television.
You get Carol singing, Oh, Come All Ye Faithful at a collapse site.
Yeah. Very operatically singing it too. It was no mild singing. It was Carol's, like she's singing it at the Mormon Tabernacle or whatever. It's a big church. And I mean, I love the movie, but this part just cringes me. I don't know.
This part to me is very much like the guys carrying the Christmas tree and singing the carols. I mean, it's cringy if it's anything else, but it's the Brady Bunch.
True.
It's amazing. And Mike hears it.
Well, Carol starts singing, and then they all well, join of course,
in. The whole crowd.
The whole family, even the little kids. Mm-hmm. And Carol's walking along the police tape.
Holding
everyone's hands. And they show you Mike in the collapsed building, mm-hmm. and he hears them, and he thinks, good Lord, I got to get out there and make him stop making fools of himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why he gets out.
I truly wonder what went through his head. Like,
they're embarrassing me.
Oh, no, she's doing it here, too, at my workplace. Jeez.
This is embarrassing. Let me go stop them. So instead of him, he saved them.
The spirit of Christmas comes over Mike.
Yes.
And he, by a Christmas miracle, gets out of the building thanks to Carol singing.
Well, I think it's hearing his family's voices joined in this beautiful Christmas song gives him the strength of a Grinch plus two or whatever.
ten who's plus two.
Yeah. He gets the strength and he fights his way out of the building. Yeah. And he comes out and they all just
go past,
break the
police
lines and just run to him
to
right
a collapsing building.
Right next to the collapsed
building.
They're
standing on the threshold of a collapsed multi-level building. Yes.
Children, everyone.
Yes, everybody. Come on along, kids.
Come on. So he's free and there's the music. Da-na-na-na-na. All right. And there's a street reporter saying how it's a happy ending. And she looks up at the street sign and it says 34th Street. And it looks, folks, like we have another miracle on 34th Street. And you know, in the beginning,
I was like, we kind of already knew it was 34th Street.
In the beginning,
Ted Roberts says that project on the corner of 34th and
Oak.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So they put that in there earlier, and then it comes to play here.
Yep.
So then now we're back at the house. Mike's showered and all because he was a mess.
Mm-hmm.
What having been in a collapsed building on Christmas morning. And they're all finished dinner. They all confess to having ate Alice's pies. The whole blooming bunch of us ate the pies, Greg says. Then
I'll let you take this one.
Okay. Then the doorbell rings and Alice, since she's not the housekeeper, has not sat down and ate a thing, is still in her uniform and is serving everyone.
Doesn't even have a chair for herself.
No, not even a chair. Not even a chair. But she's not the housekeeper. Hmm. She goes and answers the door and it's Santa Claus. Merry Christmas. But it's not Santa Claus. It is Sam.
Sam.
Coming to sweep Alice off her feet. Alice forgives him way too quick for a cheater.
Oh my gosh. So quick.
You mean you want me back, Sam?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And that's it.
Sam essentially got lonely because it's the holidays and came back to Alice. And Alice was like, okay. I wrote in my notes, now I do wish he had died. Because we wouldn't have to revisit this again.
So then they're all happy because Alice got Sam back. And everybody sings, we wish you a Merry Christmas again. Mm-hmm. This is the third Christmas carol we've heard the Brady Bunch sing during this show. We wish you a Merry Christmas. And that's how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have found watching these shows that they all try and convey some sort of message.
Mm-hmm.
You got anything?
No. And you had kind of mentioned that you were going to ask me that. And so I really thought about it. And there's not really. I mean, I put honesty question mark. I mean, I know being open with each other
nobody was being honest
You can help really work through your issues if you're honest with your family. That's really all I got. And I think maybe this is why I like it so much, because that's why people like Seinfeld so much. It's a show about nothing. I really liked it because they weren't trying to have this big theme through the movie. It was just, these are our kids and this is what's going on in their lives and here's how they resolved it. And that's it.
Yeah. When it's the Brady Bunch reuniting for the first time in all these years, people just want to see them. All it is let's drop in and see what's going on with everybody. And we don't need to do much else.
No. Let me see the house. Yeah.
Let me see the house. Let me see how they got kids. We just want to see what the Bradys are doing now. And that's all you got to present to us. And we're happy.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah.
And it was like the highest rated TV movie of the year. It got astronomical ratings because everybody wanted to tune in and see.
It's true.
Yeah. So, Eden, you have some awards?
I do. I just have a few awards.
Okay.
That will go out to some people on the show. My first award is the lamest storyline. We had quite a few. I think Peter's storyline was pretty lame. He's an honorable mention. Like, that's just dumb.
Yeah.
You don't want to propose to your girlfriend because she's your boss. That's great. maybe she'll become the CEO one day and you won't have to work at all. That's phenomenal, Peter. Get over it. I think the lamest storyline award goes to Cindy. Listen, Cindy.
But she's pretty.
I'm pretty. I think Cindy's got that I'm the youngest child complex of like, well, no one ever asks me. But newsflash, Cindy, no one got asked. Jan didn't want to go. Jan's in the middle of a divorce.
Yeah.
Carol straight up said, see you there. Bye. Hung up. Get over yourself, yeah. Cindy. I voted worst sibling. Everybody probably has a least favorite sibling in the 60s on the original show. I went off of their personalities now. Who did I like the least? Ooh, now?
I'm interested. Who?
Unfortunately, it's the same as from the 60s. It's Jan.
What did Jan do?
Sure, Jan. Jan's just the worst. She's not even nice to Philip. He's pretentious and he's Philip, mm-hmm. but she's not nice to him.
Philip.
Oh, okay. I mean, she just is a stick in the mud the whole time. Her faces. I'm just not impressed. Okay. Not impressed with Jan. Unfortunately, my dislike of her lasts 20 years. It spans the 20-year gap.
You're carrying that with you. Okay.
The next award is the worst significant other of the siblings.
Oh, I know who you're going to say. Well, maybe it's a tie.
I'd like to hear your guess of who you, when you say you know who I'm going to say. The worst significant other.
My initial thought was Wally.
Okay.
Just because he traumatized the kids so much with his losing his job. But then Nora was pretty pitiful, Greg's wife. So I'm like, it could be either one of them.
Nora is a honorable mention.
Okay.
Of course, the worst significant other is Wally. Oh my gosh. Be a man, grow up, be an adult. He could not get over the fact that he lost his job. Moping around. Right. I don't expect you to be clicking your heels.
Yeah.
But in front of your kids and in front of your wife and in front of your wife's family.
Yeah.
Get over it.
I agree with that.
Wally is the worst. And I really liked him in The Bride Show, not in this. And then my final award is the child most likely to go off the deep end. The one that we'll just never see again. Who do you think received this award?
I guess Bobby.
It's Bobby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bobby okay, is cool. Driving race cars. It's an interesting career choice for a Brady Childs.
I hope there's, we don't mean to offend any race car drivers out there.
Yes. Sorry to all of our listeners who are driving their race car right now. But yeah, he's most likely to go off the deep end. So yeah, that's just my few little awards. Cindy, worst storyline, worst significant other, Wally, worst sibling, Jan, still, unfortunately, and most likely to go off the deep end, Bobby.
Okay, Eden, well, I appreciate I'm clapping for those
thank
awards.
You, thank you.
So yeah, so did you have a favorite moment in this or an LOL moment or anything?
I really LOL'd when Mike said that was the worst proposal I've ever seen because I just thought that was funny because it was. But typically the Bradys take really terrible things and are like, this is great. But Mike was like, that was awful. I really liked in the beginning, I LOL'd when Carol originally calls Marsha about the trip to Greece. And says, hey, and Marsha said, why are we whispering? And Carol says, your dad doesn't know I'm calling you. And Marsha says, gee, I always thought dad liked me. I thought that was very funny. And again, just corny Brady humor, but good.
My laugh out loud moment was Sam's letter to Alice. You know that.
I know. She didn't stop.
I couldn't stop. It was one of those, I got the giggles over it and couldn't stop. So that was very funny. So is there anything else you need to say?
I don't think so. No.
Overall, a nice watch. It's nice to reunite with the Brady Bunch at Christmas time.
Very nice.
And that's
what
I feel
like. If you're a Brady Bunch fan, it's definitely a good watch.
Okay. Well, thank you everyone for listening. And we'll be back next week with another show. Until then, Eden, what are we going to say?
Bye.
No.
I talked about Seinfeld.
Oh, well, then we're going to say.
We're going to say bye.
Bye.
This is Michelle, and thank you for joining us for this week's episode. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on Spotify or Apple Podcast and join our Facebook group, Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group. And tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode of Old TV with a New Twist.